hope that they need to get through difficult times. Amen. Okay, today's message is from Exodus 20:3-17. And hopefully it'll be a reminder to us that the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments are still valuable for Christians. Often people suggest that new believers start with reading the Gospels, and that is probably good advice. But the Old Testament helps us understand the Gospel more fully. Before turning to the text in Exodus, I want to share another scripture passage to set the stage and communicate the importance of passages being covered. So if you want to, you can turn to Matthew 5:16-18. Matthew 5:16-18. Jesus shares, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till it all be fulfilled." This passage of Scripture reminds us that Scripture needs to be taken as a whole. We can't separate the Old Testament and the New Testament. As the passage says, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In fact, Christ is shown throughout the Old Testament, which is demonstrated when he first revealed himself on the road to Emmaus. As they walked, Jesus shared the Old Testament scriptures. Notice they didn't have the New Testament scriptures yet. And yet, their eyes had been opened. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures?" Jesus used the Old Testament scriptures to clearly point to himself as the long-awaited Messiah. While we don't know what verses were shared on that walk, I want to share a few Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus as the Messiah. Here are a few passages that talk about Jesus in the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Hosea 11:1, prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament verse, "So Joseph took up the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt when he stayed until the death of Herod. So was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I will call my son.'" And that's in Matthew 2:14-15. Frequently, people today will make a comment that the God of the Old Testament was harsh and unloving. God was just and merciful in the Old Testament and still is just and merciful in the New Testament. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually raised the bar of the Old Testament. Take the law, "Thou shalt not kill," for example. According to Jesus, if you are just angry without cause, you are guilty of murder. Think about that for a moment. Have you ever been angry at anyone? Have you ever held a grudge? Do you love those that have different political and moral values than you do? So often we see people advocating open sin and we get angry about it. While righteous anger is fine, most of us move on to sinful anger. The Old Testament points to the coming of Christ and provides us with the reason we need him. If you ask most people today if they are good, they will reply, yes. Yet the Bible teaches us we are all sinful and fall short of the glory of God. My favorite hymn is Amazing Grace, because it reminds me that Jesus saved a wretch like me. Today, we will look at the Ten Commandments, but hopefully in a more helpful and hopeful way. Way that will help us to enjoy life better and follow Jesus. Not because he made the rules, but as a way to better enjoy the gifts he's given. Moody Bible Institute's story shares the following. A businessman, well known for his ruthlessness, once announced to writer Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai, and I will read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." "I have a better idea," replied Twain. "You can stay in Boston and keep them." Can you imagine if even half of the people in the United States today honestly tried to keep the Ten Commandments? Even if our society decided that the first four, which relate to our relationship to God, would have to be omitted, just following the last six would go a long way to relieving many problems. If we followed the commandments, the number of crimes committed would be reduced. As we look at the commandments today, the intent is to focus not as them as rules, but for us to follow as expressions of God's love for us. He gave us these commandments to make us aware we are sinners, but also as a guide to help us enjoy this life more thoroughly and completely. Many of the early leaders of America understood the importance of the Ten Commandments in building a society. James Madison, fourth president of the United States, stated, "We stake the future of this country on our ability to govern ourselves under the principles of the Ten Commandments." Many Christians look at the Ten Commandments merely as rules that we have to follow, but I hope that after today, we will see these commandments as more than just rules, but as a means of blessings when they are followed. Okay, now let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, that thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. As Christian, we are familiar with these verses. Some people today try to separate the Old and New Testament, but remembering the verses previously read in Matthew 5:17, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill. This reminds us of the importance of the Old Testament. Think carefully and understand that Jesus kept all the commandments. How many of you have kept them all this weekend? How many of you have looked at them as rules to be followed, but not as guides to help us live our lives to the fullest and with more joy? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the most broken commandment. People tend to make themselves gods or view God as they want him to be. Many deny the idea of hell because they are making God the way they want. But turning to Matthew 10:28 dispels the idea that there is not a hell. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. When we mold God into our image, we want and miss the fullness of the gospel. The reason the gospel is such good news is that everyone deserves hell, but our loving God has mercy on us when we repent and believe in his Son and are saved. Remembering to keep God foremost will positively impact our Christian walk. If we're thinking of him, we're less likely to think of ourselves. Many people believe the next command, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, isn't really relative today. But there are a growing number of people that actually use pagan images and symbols in their lives. Buddhism is growing in popularity, and many people use statues of Buddha to worship. It is interesting that Buddha would likely not have approved of this practice. And even in our culture, we see people still believe in superstitions, the yin and the yang symbol, four-leaf clovers, or wearing a lucky shirt. Thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. We often forget that this doesn't mean just not to use his name as a curse word, but even using his name in a casual, not respectful way is wrong. Remembering to respect the name of God can help us in our daily walk with the Lord, giving us more joy. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This commandment frequently creates some disagreement. I am not here to tackle the topic of if the Sabbath still applies, but merely to share the view of a godly teacher. John MacArthur, Sunday has not replaced Saturday as the Sabbath. Rather, the Lord's Day is a time when believers gather to commemorate his resurrection, which occurred on the first day of the week. Every day to the believer is one of Sabbath rest, since we have ceased from our spiritual labor and are resting in the salvation of the Lord. And that's found in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So while we follow the pattern of designating one day of the week for the Lord's people to gather and worship, we do not refer to this as the Sabbath. I believe it is important to understand John MacArthur's main point is that we are celebrating Christ's resurrection as we meet here today. We are not just keeping a commandment. Attending the gathering of the church should be a joyful experience. The Lord knows we benefit from the time we focus on Him. We now turn to the favorite verse among Christian parents. I think somebody knows it. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My children have heard this verse frequently, though Seth often points out, don't provoke your children to wrath, a reference to Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Maybe I should have skipped that verse for him. In Matthew 5:21 through 22, the verses that say thou shalt not kill point out that merely being angry at someone, you are guilty of murder. Think about that passage. How many of you would be guilty by these standards? Then think of Matthew 5:43 through 48. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I admit I haven't done this well. Many people struggle with being angry with others. If you think of this commandment as a command to obey, it has value. If you think of it as a practice or a suggestion, to love it will help you, to live it will help you, your life be more joyful. Many of us have been angry and held a grudge against someone. Did it really affect them? But it caused us to be angry and frustrated, didn't it? Obeying this command can eliminate a lot of problems for you. So it benefits you. Thou shalt not commit adultery. In this comment, we are reminded that just thinking of it, we are guilty of committing this sin. In our culture today, it seems like a quaint idea from days gone by. Our society promotes immoral sexual activity as something to be celebrated. Whether our society thinks so or not, all sexual activity outside of marriage between one man and one woman is sinful. God designed marriage to be a lifelong commitment between a man and a woman. Someone out there is probably thinking that some of the Old Testament people had multiple wives. Understand that even the man after God's own heart, David, sinned. We see in our society the results of cheapening marriage and fidelity to one another. Breaking this command always causes problems. Thou shalt not steal. If I ask everyone here if stealing is always wrong, I believe the response would be yes. But if I ask the same question to unbelievers, they may say it depends. Why do you think that is? They give the scenario of a parent trying to feed their starving children, stealing to feed them. Many would have sympathy in this situation, and based on our feelings, would even be tempted to change our minds. My response is, if I was in this situation, I would like to think I wouldn't steal. But if I would, I would understand it was still wrong and against God's commandments. If you ever took something, it is likely that you've had a feeling of guilt. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Comments like, how do you know a politician is lying? His or her lips are moving. This shows how big a problem lying is. Unfortunately, many people expect people to lie, and many people see no problem lying. Telling the truth is freeing and brings a sense of peace. Thou shalt not covet. Today it is more difficult than ever to avoid coveting. We are constantly told about new and improved products, services, entertainments advertised on many of the media. The problem of covetousness isn't anything new, though. The following story by Kent Crockett shows how easy it is to covet. His story, Thou Shalt Not Covet Hamburgers, brings this point out. The following excerpt from a story provides how covetousness can take many forms. The author talks about being relatively poor while a financially well-off classmate got delicious lunch every day. And I quote, each lunch period I was forced to smell his hamburger. I watched in agony as Robbie opened his mouth wide and chewed off a mouthful. I was tortured as I listened to him smack each bite, while I forced a bologna sandwich down my own throat. Paul said, I would not have known that about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. I would have not known about coveting if it wasn't for Robbie's hamburger. I remember the Ten Commandments. I memorized this commandment in Christian grade school. I could say the tenth by heart. With my head, I learned not to covet. But with my heart, I learned how to covet. I know hamburgers aren't mentioned in the off-limits list in the Tenth Commandment. I didn't cover my neighbor's house, wife, servants, ox, donkey, but the last phrase did me in, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Yep, that includes hamburgers. Sometimes coveting can seem like an insignificant thought, but having many of those type of thoughts can lead us further along the path of covetousness. When we are content with what the Lord has provided, our lives will be more peaceful. While this world will never be perfect until Christ returns, making disciples can have a huge impact on society. The story of Jim Elliot demonstrates this. Jim Elliot was among a group of U.S. missionaries who felt called to share Christ's teaching with the Wadani tribe in Ecuador in the 1950s. At that time, the Wadani were one of the most violent people known on earth, who regularly practiced homicide and fiercely defended their territory against those wishing to exploit the rich Amazon land. They killed Jim Elliot, but later his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, witnessed to them, and many were brought to Christ. It isn't always easy or safe to share the gospel with the world, but is the only hope for the world. Everyone here has sinned against God and deserves eternal punishment. But Jesus died to pay for the sins of anyone who will repent and believe. If you haven't accepted Christ, you will be judged by the Ten Commandments that we examined today, and you will be found guilty. If you embrace the ideas behind the commandments, you will enjoy a more joyful life now. Accept God's grace and mercy now in eternity with one that loves you more than can be described will be yours. If we think of those not as just rules to follow, but look how each one of those, if we don't do those, what happens to our life? It's easier, isn't it? It's more joyful. It's more beneficial. And ultimately, we bring more glory to God by living the way He commands us to live. And that is what we all should want. Dear Lord, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You for those commandments that help us live in a way that is honoring to You and is also the way that will improve our joy in our life. And we just pray, Lord, that You will help us share the gospel that frees us from those laws and allows us to have faith that we will spend eternity with You. And we can use those laws as reminders and encouragement to live our lives better. Help us to share with a lost world all of the joy there is to be found in following Christ Jesus. Amen.